From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a 9/11 widow about what she wants to hear from the 9/11 Commission. The Commission's final report is due out tomorrow. It's a 500-plus page compendium of analysis of what happened leading up to the attacks and recommendations for what needs to be done to prevent future attacks. And joining us now is NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Madeline.
Now, this has been such an anticipated report, but we have had some hints over the last few days as to what's in it, right?
Yes, lots of leaks and lots of what I would call political preemptive strikes already being launched over this, even though we still have a day to go before we see the report itself. Now, this is the official report of what is called formally the National Commission on Terror Attacks Upon the United States. But, of course, most of us have been referring to it as the bipartisan 9/11 Commission because it has a Republican chairman, a Democratic co-chairman, and eight other members who are equally divided between the two parties. Now, those two, the chairman and the co-chairman, Tom Kaine, former governor of New Jersey, is the Republican, and Lee Hamilton, former congressman from Indiana, Democrat, are going to be briefing all over Washington today. They'll be on the Hill briefing the Senate. They'll be also briefing House Democrats. The House Republicans got theirs last night. And then, interesting, they will be going down to the White House to talk to National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice and also to White House Counsel Alberto Gonzalez, briefing them on the report. And then Rice and Gonzalez will brief the president.
Mm-hmm. And so what will happen tomorrow?
Tomorrow, the drama moves into the public sphere, and it will be much more televised. Just before noon Eastern Daylight Time, the commissioners are going to present their report formally in a news conference, and then through the rest of the day, there will be a succession of other news conferences, Capitol Hill, and among the commissioners or from the commissioners themselves. Then they'll be making a number of media appearances. It's really going to be quite an orgy of media coverage through the rest of tomorrow as the commissioners try to make their case, or as they say, lobby the nation to take their recommendations seriously. By the way, the report's also going to be in bookstores tomorrow at $10 a copy.
Hmm. And so tell us a bit more about these leaks. What are the highlights?
I think one thing that people are going to be struck by when they look at this report, particularly when they do so on their own if they get a copy, is the degree of tragedy and heartbreak in all of this. Politics aside for a moment, it's going to bring us all back to the horror of that day in September of 2001 and to the awful ironies of missed opportunities. There was a report today in the Washington Post that the report will specifically name 10 occasions on which the plot of 9/11 might have been disrupted. Some of these go back into the 1990s in the Clinton presidency, and a little more than half of them are in the months running up to the 9/11 attack itself. And they include things like opportunities to capture or kill Osama bin Laden, a failure to place a couple of terrorist names on the right list so they might have been caught, things of that nature. Some of them are quite small, but added up altogether, they clearly show a picture of opportunities that were lost that could have prevented this from happening. Also, of course, the report is going to talk about the lack of sharing of information between many different federal agencies over the years and also during the crucial minutes on that particular Tuesday morning. And they're also going to talk a lot about how they can't point fingers of blame, but there are many, many dots that the readers might connect on their own to suggest who might have done a better job. And finally, they'll make a series of recommendations regarding leadership in the intelligence community.
So they won't say outright that these attacks could have been prevented?
No, they have decided to stop short of saying this was a preventable event because there's no clear, conclusive evidence that any one of these opportunities having been seized upon might have been enough to stop the attack from happening. But again, there'll be a lot of dots there the reader can connect for himself or herself.
And how do you expect the Bush and Kerry campaigns to try to use this report in the next few months politically?
There'll be a certain amount of agreement over the report. I think both candidates will say they would like to see a new cabinet-level director of director of national intelligence to supersede the current CIA director and bring together all the agencies. But I think there will also be more negative uses of the report. Kerry will use it to cast doubt on the president's stewardship and reliability, and President Bush will use it to keep the nation focused on the danger of terrorism, which polls still show people trust Bush to handle better than Kerry.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Madeline.